Christmas time is here, and the Lefevre Quartet has a project celebrating this time of year in a big way. We've got the entire group from their bus live here on the show. It's next on Daniel, Britt, and Friend.
Welcome to Daniel, Britt, and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes, memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Merry Christmas, and thanks so much for coming along the ride today, where we literally are kind of like along the ride on a bus with the Lefevre Quartet, and the jingle bells in the background means that it is time. Once again, for Sounds of Christmas. Christmas time is here. We're starting off with Mike Lefevre, but we've got all the guys that are hanging out on the bus. And Mike, Merry Christmas. It's good to have you here,
Merry bud. Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Daniel.
You got to tell me, the Lefevre family, at least the Mike Lefevre family, who's the most Christmassy out of the bunch when you're talking about your particular house?
Oh, that would have to be my wife, Kathy. This is no joke. She has had the tree up since before Thanksgiving. She loves Christmas. She has decorated. Everything's decorated, and she is ready to go. But the day after Christmas, everything comes down.
So she's an early bird, but when it's over, it's over for her. Yeah.
But yeah, but we get to celebrate way over a month. We get to celebrate Christmas.
Now, is this, do you think it's a large part because of what you do? I mean, you're on the road a lot, or if you had an 8-to-5 job or a 9-to-5 job, would she still be that early?
Do you know, we've been married 27 years, and as long as I've even known her before that, it was always at least a month ahead of time. A month before Christmas, that she would start the decorations and the festivities. So I don't think whether it was 8-to-5 or whether it's the road or whatever. That's just she loves it, and she makes it a joy for me, and she always had. She's made it a joy for our family, and so she, as far as festive, she gets the awards hands down.
Well, tell me about growing up, and you grew up in Atlanta, right?
Right.
So growing up and a member of a very famous family, the Lefevre family, grew up. Did you guys have a lot of extended family that came in to where you were in Atlanta, or did you travel for the holidays?
You know, as far as the Lefevre part, we never actually got together that much at Christmas. I remember we would maybe go over to my dad's brother's Alphys's house, or maybe to Urice and Eva May's house, and have a Christmas dinner every now and then. But it was nothing regular. But me, as you know, I remember as a child, a tradition every year on Christmas Eve, we would be at my grandmother's house. That was like being at church on Sunday. You knew you were going to be there on Christmas Eve. And she lived to be almost 100 years old. So I knew as long as that was just a rule, you know, that's where you were going to be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So what was that like? Was there a particular food or a particular thing from your childhood that, you know, along with being there on Christmas Eve, was just, you could guarantee it when you smelled it or when you saw it? You knew it was Christmas.
The food was endless, and my grandmother, one thing she always did every Christmas is she made this fruitcake that she had to start making it, and it had for way in advance. It took a month or something. I don't even know how she did it. I'm sure some of the old timers know exactly what I'm talking about. Sure. But it's not one throw together in a day and it's done. It would take a process to get all that done, and she did everything the old-fashioned way, you know. And so man, the memories, you know, I guess when you look back at childhood, those memories, that memory of going to my grandmother's house every Christmas Eve, that was just a mark in my life that was steady as a rock. I knew it was going to happen. And so, you know, you start thinking about the fruitcake, you start thinking about her house was so small, but we always went to her house. Yeah. And the room the rooms, you know, it's like when you go back to your elementary school, it seems so big when you're a kid, but then you go back and it was so tiny. And we would the family got so big that we ended up having to be in, we'd have some in this room and some in this room, and it just scattered all throughout the house. Great memories, so precious memories.
Mike Lefevre and the Lefevre Quartet. Christmas sounds here, and Christmas time is here, is the project we're listening to on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Christmas time is here, happiness and cheer, fun for all that children call their favorite time of year. Snowflakes in the air, carols everywhere, olden times and ancient rhymes, times of love and dreams to share. Sleigh bells in the air, beauty everywhere, yuletide by the fireside, and joyful memories there. Christmas time's here, we'll be drawing near. Oh, that we could always see such spirit through the
listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Sounds of Christmas with Mike Lefevre on the line. By the way, the Lefevre Quartet project here is Christmas Time is Here. So obviously thinking back to childhood memories, and I think it all seems to start for us there. Christmas and childhood are just inseparable. But when you get older, Mike, and you start, you know, having a family of your own, there comes a point, I think, for a lot of young families, you go along with either yours or your spouse's traditions. You end up at your in-laws or your parents' house, and you kind of keep doing that. And then gradually and slowly and surely, you end up developing your own traditions. They kind of morph, or it kind of becomes a compromise of the two. What was that like for you guys in those early years?
You know, and that's true. You know, you transition from your childhood traditions to, you know, you've got your own kids, you know, turning into you almost like changing roles. You know, you go from going to get to turning into give, and so it's a great transition as a parent. And you parents know what I'm talking about, but to make that transition, and that's the neat thing about the gift of Christmas is it turns, and I think the older you get too, Daniel, you transform from you wanting to get to I want to give. And that's what, you know, that's the gift of Christ. He gave. And so I think, you know, that speaks volume at our house, that transformation where we turned into the givers. And it's another great part of my life, another great tradition as we've grown older together, Kathy and I, and now my kids are, you know, of course, Jordan, he's 23 and wife of his own, and he's got his own home. And then my daughter's 20, but we have our tradition of coming together at my house on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas morning, we have a breakfast. And so we have our own traditions now, but it's more about giving than getting.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so are you a Christmas Eve or a Christmas Day morning kind of gift exchange person?
Well, you know, we're Christmas Eve people. Yeah, we just always have been that way, Christmas Eve. And then, you know, and I think it turned out that way because once my grandmother, we made that transition from her. We started coming together after she passed away, and as my family on Christmas Eve, and my children and my mom would come over to my house, and so we started that tradition at my house now. So the tradition goes on, and just in a different way, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I know, like at our place, at least now, our family seems to be. You know, with extended family, it's a Christmas Eve tradition, and we do like soups and sandwiches Christmas Eve. But then for the kids, it really comes alive Christmas morning under the tree to see what mom and dad, you know, have come in with their gifts or Santa or whatever the Christmas morning then tradition. Of course, ends up with a big honking Christmas traditional lunch, you know. But
oh yeah. Now, Kathy, she does a Christmas morning breakfast too. So she, so the kids are coming over Sunday morning, you know, and eating. So it's, you know what, it's that, and especially for a gospel singer, this is the time that we actually know that we're going to take off, and we know we're going to be off during Christmas, that week of Christmas.
Yeah.
And so we really take advantage of that family time and enjoy that time together.
Mike Lefevre's with us and the Lefevre Quartet's Christmas Project. Christmas Time is Here is what we're hearing on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Isaiah told the story of the Savior who had come to save the world from sin. As they saw the baby in the manger, they heard the prophet's words come back again. Repeat the sounding joy to the world, for Christ the Lord has come. Let every tribe and nation be heard. Repeat, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with the Lefevre Quartet. Mike Lefevre's with us now. Jordan, his son, also here, is, and appropriately so. Jordan, we're talking about family and Christmas memories, and you've got a place of your own, your wife, that you guys, I'm sure, starting to look at your own Christmas traditions, but still holding on to your families, right?
Exactly. It's, you know, it's. I was talking to Dad the other day about it, and, you know, I was reflecting on all the memories that I had growing up, the things with my parents, and how excited I was to get to start those things with my wife, and eventually when we have kids as well, because this is actually going to be our first Christmas in our own home. We bought a house not long after we got married, but the deal wasn't done until a little bit after Christmas. So we actually spent last Christmas with my parents, me and her both, and that was a real special Christmas as well. But I'm excited about getting to start of the all those traditions in our home together, and I think it's incredible. We got to put up our own Christmas tree this year, and well, she put it up and I watched, and
nice.
And it's just an exciting Christmas for us.
Yeah, Daniel, that's a tradition that our wives put up the trees and we watch.
I like that.
But we usually have to do the work on Christmas Day when they want it back down again.
Oh, right. I get that. Now, have you gotten to the part about, like, you know, where you just, it starts to feel real when you start shopping and you have to go buy the cans of pumpkin, or you got to buy the, you know, you got to go buy the turkey or the ham, and you start bringing in your own firewood, you know, for your own fireplace or whatever. These kind of things seem to be like the little milestones, especially for young families when they start out on their own.
Yeah, it is, and I've had to adjust to that, and it's not as easy as Dad made it look, or maybe it's something like that.
Yeah,
it's neat, and I love doing just things like building fires in our fireplace, and I don't enjoy the cleanup.
Right,
and
you know what's amazing though, Daniel, is some and I know some people can relate to this, but it's the simple things that mean the most a lot of times, because we're gone so much. Mm-hmm. To build a fire in your fireplace and get sit there and look at it is amazing.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was talking to my wife last night on the phone and telling her how excited I was to get home off this Christmas tour, and just a simple thing like build a fire and just do something that simple, you know. Mm-hmm.
or sit in your recliner.
That's the truth.
Yeah, what's up with that? It's, you know, we're into so many new decades later after the bus was invented. Why don't we have lazy boys on tour buses?
That's a good question. Good question. That we'd be fighting over.
That's true.
Yeah. I love those J-I-G-L-E bells. Oh, those holiday J-I-G-L-E bells. Oh, those happy J-I-G-L-E-D-E-L-L-S. I love
bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow, in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields
we go,
laughing all the way.
Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jordan, maybe think if Keely were there with you, your sister, right? If you guys were to try to predict each other's answer between your mom and your dad and you and your sister, what would be, as kids of Mike and Kathy, what would be like the number one thing that you said you would have to have, or it almost wouldn't be Christmas growing up? Particular smell or taste or ornament?
Well,
or
really, it's a memory for me is every Christmas morning is having our family over and having Christmas morning breakfast. It was not Christmas, or it didn't feel like it unless we did that. You know, a bunch of folks coming together and eating, that is. But that, if I had to say one thing, and I believe Keely would say the same thing, that is what made it feel like Christmas is just, I mean, all the parties and everything is great. But when we came together as a family for that morning to celebrate Christmas, that was the most special memory that I can think of.
Now, are we talking about like you walk in the door and you smell like apple cider, or you smell bacon, or what was the smell?
Sausage and bacon.
Yes. That's good. Hey, Jordan Lefevre's with us, Mike Lefevre's with us, and the Lefevre Quartet singing from the project Christmas Time is Here. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Do you remember? I sat upon your knee. I wrote to you with childhood fantasies. Well, I'm all grown up now. Can you still help somehow? I'm not a child, but my heart still can dream. So here's my lifelong wish, my grown-up Christmas list. Not for myself, but for a world in would never start, and time would heal all hearts. Everyone would have a friend, that right would always win, and love would never is my grown-up Christmas list. What is this illusion called? The innocence of youth. Maybe only in that blind belief can we ever find the truth.
Hey guys, I know that you got some other members hanging out on the bus right now during this conversation. Before we let Jordan go, though, what part did you all collectively play in putting together a Christmas project like this?
Everybody made a contribution, but there were songs like Jordan that brought to me, and I was a big fan of For Him. Their Christmas project was one of the best Christmas projects ever.
Yeah.
And Jordan, of course, he listened. So I suggested he listen this years ago, and he fell in love with them too. Yeah. But there was a song called Strange Way to Save the World. Jordan brought that and said, "Dad, I want to sing this song."
Mm. Yeah, I did. It's such a good song because it takes such a different perspective on the Christmas story as we know it. It talks about from Joseph's point of view, you know, how he must have felt, you know, being bestowed the responsibility to raise God's son, him and Mary. I can only imagine that he said, "Lord, why me? Why Mary?" You know, it was all done in such a ordinary way, but God used it to be extraordinary. And that is just such a powerful message in a song. I loved it.
Yeah. And then, you know, another song that we pulled off that same CD For Him Christmas from years and years ago was In Your Care. And that's another one Jordan brought to the table too. So, you know, and then we, we looked at, we went through a lot of Christmas stuff, and we wanted a Christmas CD that really, that songs that people were familiar with, because people love hearing familiar Christmas songs, but we tried to put a different twist on a lot of it. So out of that was born this Christmas CD.
Ah, that's good. And by the way, it's available at thelefevrequartet.com online. And you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with the Lefevre Quartet.
I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives but he had dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come to life. And Joseph said, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of dream. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. Just a simple man of dream. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, the Lefevre Quartet. Christmas time is here. What a cool project, and what a cool opportunity to kind of invade the bus, because we've interrupted their football game or whatever they're watching or doing in their downtime. You want to know what a gospel group does in its downtime? they wait on a bus repair and they do radio interviews. But I've got Thomas Nally, who sings the high part, Brandon Berry, who sings the low part, and I got Michael, who tickles the ivories. Okay, so guys, thanks for coming on here and letting us kind of invade. But as we think about Christmas memories, Brandon, I'll start with you. When you go back to your childhood, and if you were to go back and walk through the door of whatever your home or your relative, a grandmother, a grandfather, what would be the smell that would instantly transport you back there? Was there a particular food that they cooked?
Oh, man. Growing up, I guess this is going to sound weird, but we did, it would be pizza. Every Christmas Eve, I'm telling you, every Christmas Eve, we have a tradition, and everybody, we hand make our own pizza.
Wow.
That's something that we do, and everybody gets to go, and we all go to the store together. We pick out whatever topping. It doesn't matter what it is. It's your pizza. You get to pick out whatever topping you want to put on the pizza, and even to this day, that's what we do on Christmas Eve, and everybody has their own pizza. And now, growing up, that got real interesting, because as a kid, you want to put everything on a pizza.
Yeah,
I want to put Skittles on a pizza. You know, it was real interesting growing up, but I'd honestly have to say that pizza reminds me of Christmas. As weird as that sounds.
Yeah, that's a very strange answer. I mean, and Barry, the name Barry, is that, that's not Italian, is it? I mean, what started that?
My mom did. I can remember, I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and I remember mom just one, we were sitting, it was on a Sunday, we were sitting at the dinner table after church, and she said, I want to start a new tradition this year. What do you guys think about hand-making pizzas on Christmas Eve? And that's where it was born.
Wow.
I don't know where he got it. I don't know. I don't know what spawned that idea, but it happened, and that's what we've done every Christmas Eve.
Well, I know, and I'm saying, well, that's cool to start your own and do something totally off the wall like that. It's very cool. Now, I know some people are listening. They're thinking, they're cringing, and they're like, but please tell me there's a turkey or a ham or some dressing or somewhere on Christmas morning or Christmas afternoon or something. You still do a traditional thing?
Absolutely. Christmas Day, we have the whole feast going on. We have ham, we have turkey, we got stuffing.
Yeah.
And one thing that we have every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, that I've never met anybody else that has this, but it's called green Jell-O mold. And it's like a Jell-O, and it's got pineapple and all that in it. If we didn't have that one thing, that's the one thing that everybody asks for. We'll make sure we're going to have that during the holidays. It's a green Jell-O mold. So if we have pizza and green Jell-O mold, we're good to go.
You're good to go. You get the red and the green. I see it. Okay. Hey, Michael plays piano for the Lefevre Quartet, and obviously you've got, I mean, I can't tell you the number of piano players I've seen come out the woodwork, whether at the shopping mall or on television. I mean, this is a cool time for piano players to shine Christmas time. Did you get tagged playing piano at Christmas parties and stuff growing up?
I honestly did. You know, we would all sit around, the family would sit in the living room, and my grandma had an old upright piano, and every year they'd always ask me to play Jingle Bells. I can always count on that. So yeah. Then as time progressed, of course, you know, if I learned other, you know, Christmas songs, and then, you know, of course, now with the Lefevres, you know, we got our new Christmas CD, so I know the family will be wanting me to play some of our songs, so...
Well, that's fun, and it brings something, it adds a texture to a Christmas party or a gathering of family. So much like the question asked Brandon, if you went back to, you know, 5 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, what would be that constant that was always there for you at Christmas time, whether it was a particular decoration or a food dish or just a tradition?
Well, I remember I used to make fun of my grandmother because she loves Christmas so much. She loves decorating, and it's like her house. I always say that it's like the North Pole exploded in our living room because she had Christmas tree. I mean, it's a wonder the Christmas tree even stood, you know, straight, because she had, you know, probably 10,000 ornaments on it, and, you know, not counting the Christmas villages and all the garland strung through the house, and, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But that was one thing. I grew to appreciate that as I got older, and, you know, now that I'm married and, you know, don't live at home anymore, I really do miss that.
Yeah. Have you started developing some of your own traditions or carrying some of that over into your home?
Oh, yeah. Me and my wife, we just, as a matter of fact, the week before, right before Thanksgiving, we started decorating because I knew we'd be gone on the Christmas tour. So we started, you know, decorating our house, put our tree up, decorated it, and, you know, decorated the living room, and put some lights up here and there. And, you know, but this is going to be a special Christmas this year because me and my wife found out in August that we're having a baby boy.
Wow.
And he'll be here in April. So right this Christmas, it'll just be me and my wife and the dog. But next Christmas, it would be me, my wife, my dog, and the baby.
Gotcha. All right. Well, congratulations, and thanks for sharing that.
Yes, sir.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10, glistening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door.
A pair of hobbleon boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dogs that won't talk and won't go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen.
And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the parks as well, the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
Thomas, you have been, I'm trying to figure out here, I think you're also a Georgia kid. I mean, I know Mike and them grew up in Atlanta. You grew up in Jefferson, right? Or you live there now?
I live there now. I actually grew up in North Carolina in a town called Hendersonville. It's pretty close to Asheville, North Carolina, where the Kingsmen are from.
I got you. So what was Christmas like there? I mean, you got more snow, I assume, than you do in Georgia.
Oh, of course. Yeah, we had quite a bit of white Christmases. You know, you were talking about traditions and what I remember the most about Christmas. I had about three different houses that I would have to go between grandparents. And I remember one year there was a huge blizzard, and we were just so concerned that we were going to be able to make it to one of my grandmother's. And I guess there was at least, a foot or two of snow on the ground, but we made it. And that was just kind of one of the things that I look forward to as a kid is I know with my parents, it was such a rush getting us, to and from all those places in one day. And actually up until maybe just a couple of years ago, I continued that tradition of going to all those different places, even with my kids. And then I guess 3 years ago, we started our own tradition of just kind of hanging out at our house and starting our own family traditions. Mm.
Do you remember growing up a kid and receiving a gift that was just over the top, like you couldn't hardly wait because this was just a big deal gift and it finally came through?
Yeah, I used to, not so much anymore as I've gotten older, but I used to be a real big fan of basketball. And I just wanted a basketball goal for forever. And finally one year, I saw a huge present under the tree, and I just knew it had to be that basketball goal. And I remember opening it up, and I was just so excited.
Okay, let's go the opposite end of the spectrum. Did you ever, and I don't want to embarrass anybody in your family, but did you ever have a flop of a gift where you thought it was going to be a basketball goal, and you opened it, and it was a pair of underwear or something?
Well, no, I guess I would be more the prankster of the family. I've done that a couple times to my kids. I'll put, like last year, I wrapped this huge present for my daughter, and it actually started a new tradition. But what I did is I wrote a kind of like a riddle of where her last present would be hiding.
Nice.
And yeah, and I actually ended up having her go all through the house, and ended up it was about 20 degrees Christmas last year, and her present was actually in the trunk of my car. And so she ended up in her pajamas, no socks, anything, just going outside in 20 degree weather to find her present.
Wow.
But I thought it was kind of cruel, and my wife did too, but come to find out my daughter loved it. She's actually begged me to do something like that again this year, so I'm gonna do that.
See, there you go, from pizzas to 20 degree barefoot. Now you got traditions coming out your ears on the Lefevre Quartet bus. I love this.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, you're talking about traditions. You know, another tradition I started with my kids, you know, we make Christmas so much about receiving gifts. And I tried to instill in them in an early age, you know, the importance of giving gifts. Mm. And I guess about 5 years ago, my wife and I, we started a tradition where we will find a needy family. And we'll have the kids go out and actually shop for that family and provide Christmas for that family that can't afford gifts.
That's cool. The Lefevre Quartet with us on Daniel Britton Friends. And the project is Christmas Time is Here. Again, you can get it and more information about the quartet at thelefevrequartet.com.
Little children, go where I send thee. How should I send thee? Well, I'm going to send thee one by one. One for baby, born of the Virgin Mary, born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How should I send thee? Well, I'm going to send thee two by two, two for Paul and Silas. One for Libby, baby, born of the Virgin Mary, born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee.
The Lefevre Quartet and the project is Christmas Time is Here. So, Mike Lefevre, take me back to, maybe any ordinary day where you think you got this thing, you've been doing this for so long, right? I do call you the legendary Mike Lefevre.
No.
You've been doing this so long that you know how to sing a song. You know what to say in between. You're going to do three songs, say something, do two more songs, take an intermission, and you could what they call mail it in. But then you get somebody at the table or somebody out in the parking lot, and they tell you a story about what God's doing in their life or a dark place where they're walking and your song has helped them. And all of a sudden you realize, oh God, I need you every hour, even on that platform when I think I got it all under control, you're still working. Does that happen at Christmas too?
You know, that happens throughout the year. And you know, Daniel, I've made a transition. You know, for years I just stood there and I just sang baritone. I didn't have to say anything. There was no need for me. I was just the baritone singer, and that's what I did. And, you know, over the years, God obviously has transformed me in a lot of ways. But, you know, there is... When you take on the responsibility of a ministry, and I like to think of Lefevre's as a ministry, we're, you know, we do sing great, you know, the greatest music in the world, and that's gospel music, and but we are very interested in and focused on people's hearts and how what's going on in their lives, and you know, I'll tell you something that happened not long ago that. You know, and this is why it's always important for us to be prepared, to be prayed up and prepared. I told folks from the stage, if there's anything we can pray with you about, just let us know. We'll be glad to do that. A lady come back to the table and started to share with me, and she started to cry, telling me that she had been raped. And this was something that really caught me. It really caught me off guard, unprepared. I felt unprepared. The first thing I did was said to myself, I just said a silent prayer. I said, God, tell me, give me the words to say. Let me say the thing that will make a difference. Because she was suffering from humiliation. She was dealing with guilt. She was dealing with all these emotions that were going on in your life. And I was going, Lord, why did she tell me this? But then God reminded me that there was something we could pray with them about to do that. And so, you know, I wasn't necessarily prepared for what she said, but the only thing I knew to do, and that's just started praying for her, that God would give her peace, that God would give her comfort, that God would grow her from this experience into where she can minister to other people. Yeah. You know, as far as being caught off guard, it happens frequently. Mm. The best way we prepare for it as a group is, you know, we pray as a group. We read God's word together as a group, and we try to stay prepared, you know.
Yeah. Mike Lefevre's with us, and the Lefevre Quartet, by the way, Sounds of Christmas on the project, Christmas Time is Here. And yeah, I say this a lot because I think about it a lot during Christmas time, that you got two things that go on, I feel like, as messengers of the gospel, which you guys certainly are. One is that I feel like you get an audience that's a little bit more open to hearing about Jesus. They're open more this time of year to hear about the gospel because Christmas just does that. I mean, there's no hiding the fact that it was about a baby. And it was about the birth of Christ. So
right.
I feel like, and so let's talk about that for a second. Like, do you see that sometimes you get people who come to a Lefevre Quartet Christmas concert who may never come to one of your regular concerts?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's like a church service. A lot of times people will attend a Easter service, or they'll go to church on Mother's Day, or they'll, you know, special occasions. And the same way will fall true on a Christmas concert. Somebody that may go to a Christmas concert that wouldn't ordinarily go. So we do get that opportunity. And you know, we have people that come with different things in mind. And a lot of that depends on where we're at. Recently, we were on the Branson Bell, the paddle boat out at Branson, and for a Christmas concert. They were there to be entertained and enjoy a great Christmas evening. But see, the great thing is we still were able to share the gospel, and they still had a great time, and they still got to eat. So yeah. Christmas is a great time to be able to, if somebody's in the festive mood, it's okay. They're still going to get the gospel, because the gospel is Jesus came to this earth. He was born in Bethlehem. He is the Christmas story. And therefore, we get to share the gospel at Christmas easily to people that may never come to see us.
That's good. Mike Lefevre is with us, by the way. And the other side of the coin that I was going to talk about at Christmas time is that although you do have people who are more open to the gospel this time of year, you also have people for whom it's, you know, if their life is going through a rough patch during the year, it sometimes seems more magnified. Like if they're going through a dark place, Christmas sometimes can make it feel even more dark. Or if they're lonely, Christmas brings around even more loneliness because it's all magnified. When you watch, you know, the Hallmark cards unfold on television, everybody's sitting around with family. And if they have no family, that just is, it kind of digs the pain deeper. So how do you deal with people that you meet that you can tell that's the boat they're in?
Well, Daniel, I don't know that there's just a surefire answer for that. Every situation, I think, calls for a different possible reaction. You know, here's the thing. When we go into a concert, we go in to share the joy of Christ. And it's like you said, not everybody is in that frame of mind. You know, it could be because of a memory of Christmas, they had a lot of family at Christmas and now all their family's gone home and they're alone. Or there's just so many, different scenarios there. But we have decided that we're going to go in with joy. We're going to share the joy of Christ. That may be the only joy they get to have the whole year, or that may be the only joy that they experience during Christmas. So we for sure want to make sure that they get to experience the joy of Christ, because joy is one of the fruits of knowing Jesus as your Savior, is to be able to experience joy. And so yet we try to be compassionate to people, to the people who may be hurting. And so I think there's a fine line there of going overboard, and yet there's a lot of people there to enjoy, and they want to be even filled with more joy. So that's one thing about being a Christian that I love is the joy of Christ and enjoying salvation. And I think that's probably is, as far as this group and this ministry, that's what he's called us to do, is share joy. And so that's the way we deal with it.
Yeah. I get that. Hey, growing up, what was, or in your earlier years, not necessarily as a child, but maybe as a teenager, or young adult, what was your favorite Christmas music? Was it a particular album, particular artist?
Oh my, you know, I'm getting on up there a little bit, but I guess it's, are you talking about just a Christmas song in particular, or?
Yeah, or if you had a record or something that you just really wore out at Christmas time, yeah.
Well, not necessarily. I'll tell you, I've been Southern gospel lover from the day I could understand what they were saying, and so always, you know, gospel music, it's all Christmas music to me. And yeah. So I just sit and play those music. But as far as when I think about some regular, I can't help but think about Elvis singing Blue Christmas.
That's it. Yeah. Right.
That always puts me in the mind, you know, that just always sets the mood for, okay, it's time to put up the tree. Blue Christmas is coming.
Right. Exactly. All right. Here's a question. If you could keep everything that you love about Christmas, your family, your traditions, you know, all of that the same, the particular food you like to eat, but you could pick any location in the world to have your entire Christmas tradition transported. Your family, your loved one, they'd go with you, but you couldn't do it no more in Georgia. You had to go somewhere else, either in this country or around the world. Where would you think you'd like to have Christmas?
Now, and this has got to be every year, right?
That's right.
I would probably say there's two places I can think of. One of them would be probably Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. There's just, you know, there, that just, no matter what season it is up there, if you're there in the winter, you want to celebrate Christmas, if you're there at Thanksgiving, you want to celebrate Thanksgiving. There's just something about that town that just makes you want to enjoy life. So I think Pigeon Forge. My next choice would be Nashville, Tennessee. I love Nashville.
Yep.
There's something about Nashville. And then, and this one's for my wife. I gotta give her this one. She's always wanted to go Hawaii.
Yeah.
So we at least have to do one Christmas in Hawaii.
That would be fun. It would be a lot of fun.
Yes, it would. Receive her key. Let every heart prepare him room.
And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven.
Sounding joy, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Of his love and wonders of his.
There is joy.
There is joy.
There is joy.
There is joy to the world.
Mike Lefevre's with us, and the Lefevre Quartet music available all year round, not just at Christmas time, by the way. It's the LefevreQuartet.com, and Lefevre is LefevreVre. All right, the LefevreQuartet.com. All right, before you go, Mike, real tree or artificial tree?
Artificial. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And with your firefighting background as well, do you climb ladders and get up and hang lights and decorate in that?
You know, I always, one or two years, I got up and I did the lights along the eaves of the house and along the front of the house and those pretty icicle lights all down through there, Daniel. And then I found out that I had to take them back down. Kathy made me take them back. I couldn't leave them up till July. So, we don't so much do things that you have to get outside and staple up, but heights don't bother me. I'll climb.
Good. Well, Mike, Merry Christmas to you and all the guys, and looking forward to a great new year with you. Thanks for the music and a lot of good stuff on here. Christmas time is here.
Thank you, Daniel. Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.